You're catching up with Beck and Soda right now. But imagine laying poolside in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery's $3.5 million Henley Beach Grand Prize. Ticks at homelottery.com.au. SAFM's Beck and Soda for breakfast.
The podcast.
Oh, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you are listening. But if you are tired, I feel your pain right now.
Yeah, you are so tired at the moment. You fell asleep in the studio during a song with your head on the microphone.
I did.
Yesterday.
Fell asleep in the car this morning as well before the show. I was doing a little bit of meditation and thankfully I had my alarm on because I reckon 5 minutes into the meditation, I was sounder.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've never fallen asleep in the studio before, and I know we get up at 4:30, and I know I'm not crying and whinging and sooking about it.
Yeah, we know there are shift workers and people saving lives and stuff that are baking bread and stuff.
I'm struggling to sleep at the moment, and when I just closed my eyes and rested my head on the microphone, I just zonked out, and you know what? It was a beautiful little couple of minutes. I loved it so much.
Recharged your batteries.
How much sleep do you get a night, roughly, do you reckon?
I aim for 7, but I've had a bit of trouble falling asleep lately too, and I'm probably closer to 6, which is not enough for me.
So what time do you go to bed? You're up about 4:30?
Yeah, and I go to bed about 9:30.
Yeah.
So that's 7 if you fall asleep straight away.
I went to bed last night before 9, so I reckon it was about 8:38 when I went to bed.
Okay.
And I'm going to start. I think I'm going to need to go to bed before 9 o'clock now. Would you get a decent sort of night's sleep when you get in there?
Well, I've got a bit of an issue in the household at the moment because, as I've said, my husband used to come to bed after I was asleep and not disturb me, but now he's working an early shift at the ABC and we're going to bed at the same time.
All right.
And he likes to
hello.
He likes to touch me, he likes to have a hand on me, like, you know, a hand on my butt.
Like a comforting thing. That I'm there for you. I'm your man.
Yeah. And I don't.
How good's that? That would give you comfort.
I can't fall asleep with any contact on me.
What do you mean?
So I'm like, how long do I tolerate this before I go, okay, I'm going to sleep. Roll over.
Hang on. A loving embrace from your husband. Yeah. You shouldn't
need
to.
Not even an embrace.
It's
just
tolerate.
Touch.
Well,
I can't. It's. I just can't. I can't. Like couples who fall asleep spooning.
Yeah.
What is that witchcraft?
Or like, what about
no
arm in arm? Like if you know the guy and if you've got a partner and she's got her head on the chest and she falls asleep and you just wake up in an embrace,
it's
hugging
a myth.
Each other.
It doesn't happen.
James has got a really hairy chest as well, so I can't even really lie on his chest or I get like hair up my nose and I'm like it's like lying in a forest of.
Can we dedicate this podcast to all the lovers that embrace and enjoy each other in bed? Because clearly none of us are.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Good morning, South Australia, and good morning, Mark Soderstrom. Are you awake?
It is a very good morning. Hi, everyone. It's a good question you ask, and I know exactly why you're asking it. And it's probably fair to ask at this point of time because, what is it, 6:01? I'm sure there are many of you maybe on your way to work early, or you could be coming back from a pretty tough night shift, and you're just thinking, I've got to stay awake. I've got to stay awake for the next 20 minutes to get home, and then my head is going to hit the pillow, and it is going to be absolute bliss.
Thursday night, some of the kids could be still coming home from the clubs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, they won't even know about sleeping. They'll be just pinging away. They'll be wide awake. They'll be just on the disco biscuits and feeling
magnificent. They're just high on life.
Yeah, well, not those kids at those sort of places you're talking about.
So I get out of the car this morning, and you usually get in your meditation before work, which is...
like to sneak in, my little 20 minutes. So normally from around about, I don't know, what time are we getting? About 4:50 to 5:10 or so, or 4:55 to 5:15, I can sit there and get my 20 minutes of meditation where I'm awake normally. And I'm just drifting away in just some beautiful paradise and just thinking about the onslaught of the day that's coming and trying to remove that from my brain.
It's pretty much you need to have that kind of zen in order to then have my little face pressed up against your car window going, morning!
I know. Sometimes you get the little tap on the window and I'm like, oh, Jesus, what's going on there?
That face.
And I'm going, oh, my God, it's like I've got some stalker with a little smiley face going, hello, good morning.
Morning.
This morning, that was a little different.
Yeah. So this morning, as I got out of my car and went to give you your little tap, 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 you did a big jolt, like a big jump. And I thought he doesn't usually come out of his meditations like that.
Well, what happened? I actually set the alarm on the phone just in case and I was dead to the world.
Sand.
And I was absolutely sound asleep. And then when the alarm went, I jumped and I went, you know when you wake up and you don't know where you
are? Yeah, your head nearly went through
and
the
roof. And I'm sitting there going, oh God, where am I? What am I doing in a car? Oh, that's what I'm doing. And I thought I was just blissfully away somewhere. I thought I was on a beach and thought I had a whole different life. Mm. And then I woke up and went, oh God, is this what I do?
Aww.
Oh yeah, every morning I get up and I'm sitting in a car and then I talk on the radio.
It's not a bad life.
At least you didn't do it during the show.
No, that's very true. That's...
Yeah. Ooh. Yesterday. Yesterday.
Something going wrong, isn't it?
Yesterday, he had his head sort of resting on the on our soft little microphones, and then you dropped off yesterday.
Well, I think it was just before 8 o'clock, and I actually, we've got the microphone here, and there was a song on, and I just thought, I'm just going to, this is 3 minutes 30, this song, I reckon, so I just put my forehead on the microphone.
Okay.
Little pillow on the microphone.
Before I knew it, I just jumped again. Okay. I was in Europe. It was beautiful. It was lovely. And the beach was fantastic. And I woke up and I go, oh, God, this is my life. You know when you have those dreams?
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you go, oh, God, I wish I lived in the dream,
sometimes
not in reality.
The other way. I've had horrible dreams where something really bad has happened and you were relieved to wake up. Mm. Like you bingled your car or... Mm.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go. All right, stay awake.
Yeah, stay awake.
Try to.
You could fall asleep anywhere. Yeah. I'll tell you, if you are driving home, whatever, you want to stay awake and have a little chat to us, 131060, give us a call if you've fallen asleep somewhere unusual. We want to get you home safely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
We'll do it
where
later as well.
Did you fall asleep?
Okay. Wake up.
I'm up.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
It is a Friday. It's R&B's Friday.
Love R&B's Friday.
And on a Friday, we let our audio master, Zachy Boy, go over the week that was. And it's pretty much a burn, let's be honest.
Right.
Pretty much burns us.
Get ready to be torched.
All right, burn away. Get a load of,
Beck and Soda. Get a load of you two on such an emotionally charged week. So much heavy gear about Beck's dog, Wolfie, and Henry the Hero that we have to cover off. Oh, it's just crazy time. Oh, God, sorry, guys. I seem to have tripped over nothing there. Very cool. Gosh, I really just had one job, didn't I? You guys better not do a phoner about this.
When did you have just the one job and you absolutely stuffed it up? Jordan from Freely.
Probably the biggest job you could ever have in your life. I had the wedding rings and I accidentally left them behind.
Best man.
Yeah, well, not so best man. I am a ginger, but it was a very blonde moment.
John's doing his own gear.
Ah, good on you, Jordan. Can't remember the wedding rings for a wedding, but won't miss a chance to test his stand-up comedy on air. But speaking of one job, hey, Soda, do you mind soliciting for some calls really quick?
What about this? Have
no,
you been?
No, go with a different number.
Oh yeah, that's a different radio station. 131060.
If you're wondering why the number was bleeped, it's because he said the wrong one. One job, ladies and gentlemen. One job. Anyway, where were we? Quick, someone say something about a strip club.
The neon sign from the Crazy Horse is back on the market.
What is this thing called the Crazy Horse? What is the equestrian club?
I've been to the Crazy Horse. I just saw some ladies dancing and I thought, well, they're flexible. Do you remember the
famous... I don't. I've never been there.
What? I never even heard of the Crazy Horse before, man. Like, why would such an establishment need a neon sign or flexible women? I've never even been down Hindley Street, but if I had...
Quick, look! Beck's dog has escaped, didn't we? Is this segue kind of insensitive?
A magnificent guy called Henry, we're calling him Henry our hero, he rescued your dog and saved him from drowning.
Wolfie and I have not got off to a great start. It's fair to say Wolfie doesn't love me very much, but I thought I'm going to put this behind us. And then I walk upstairs and I walk into our bedroom and how he has repaid his second chance at life.
Yeah.
A massive turd on my nana's old rug that she handed down to me before she died.
What a beautiful dog.
Henry the Hero, do you want another dog?
Beck, you have absolutely misread this situation. Wolfie is merely following a new trend of spreading poo particles into different places in your home. It's very on trend. Look, our boss Flack is doing it with his dishwasher right now.
A woman who shared on TikTok a photo of her toilet seat tucked into her dishwasher amongst all the plates and the crockery.
And our boss, Flack.
He took one for the team.
Was there any other utensils or cutlery or crockery in with said toilet seat?
I left the wine glasses.
Oh, you.
I had a couple of reds on Sunday night.
Filthy. I'll tell you what, your reds have turned into browns.
And your ass smells like finish.
Oh, mate.
Look, I've got this joke and, like, it's a pretty good segue, but I don't know. Beck, just say your punchline again.
And your ass smells like finish.
And speaking of Finnish...
Mark Soderstrom is watching tortoise porn. I'm not even kidding. A 90-year-old tortoise named Mr. Pickles has become a father for the first time.
As you've explained this to me, you've also shown me a video on YouTube. It is frightening. It is disturbing. Yes, listen to the video.
Bored and disinterested. He's showing his best work and she's just like...
And he is...
If anyone would like to hear me edit the sound of the tortoise moaning and the sound of soda moaning together, please press one now. Okay. Stick around for like 5 or 10 minutes. I can't play it right now. I need to barricade my studio door so no one can stop me. No, but seriously, that's coming up next. See you next week, guys.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
We do some funny things on this show. You know, you go home and your kids say, "What did you do today, Mummy?" Yep. And I'll say, "I heard audio of two tortoises." Is that a plural of tortoises, tortoise? Two tortoise who loved each other very much, making love.
Well, this was from yesterday. There was a tortoise called Mr. Pickles. Yeah. And was he
92 or something?
He became a dad for the first time. And it was pretty remarkable, wasn't it? And then we came across this video. And it was by going through YouTube, and it was a tortoise having relations with another tortoise. Yeah. Yeah. This is the legit... audio. If you've ever wondered what it's like to hear a tortoise mate, this is it. That is so wrong.
Okay, you know what was more wrong? What was more disturbing than the tortoise audio was you reenacting.
Well, I've got to say, I was fascinated by that because that sounds human-like. Mm.
It does. It doesn't sound like he's having the best time of his life.
He was. She wasn't. She looked absolutely bored. She was just sitting there like, seriously, just hurry up and get this done. I mean, this is a face we've seen many times before in a lot of women.
Sometimes the animal kingdom really does capture some of the moments in the human race. So let's have a listen to Soda reenacting that noise. And me screaming. Stop it. I don't need that noise in my head.
I was stunned by that tortoise noise. I've never heard anything like that. Yeah.
I am actually doing a little bit of DJing and remixing in my part-time, a bit like Jolie and Petch.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, that was the guy that did the Fleetwood Mac song. Yeah.
So I'm actually remixing some of that audio into a couple of tracks. And before I drop my set tonight at a club, I just wanted you to have a listen.
Okay.
Okay, here's the first one.
That's good. Yeah.
Soda brings it home.
I like it.
Another option for you. Oops, I mean girl, you know you're my world. All right, now lose it.
That R&B's Friday is taking on a whole new world,
but
isn't it?
You're right, though. I was worried that those two were very much in the R&B genre, so I wanted to be able to corner the very lucrative Christmas market.
Right, and so is this still another tortoise mix?
Yeah, but it's for Christmas. Okay. All I want for Christmas
is... That is amazing. Hey, I tell you, the big fella in the red suit with the beard isn't the only one coming once a year, is he?
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
If you've just got in your car right now or you've just woken up, we've had a very, very strange morning. There was a 90-something-year-old tortoise the other day that became a dad for the first time, and we actually heard what it sounds like when a tortoise... Right, that's a tortoise's mating sound.
Yeah, and for some reason you felt like you needed to mimic that sound.
I loved it. It just got stuck in my head. I was thinking about it all yesterday.
It just got me thinking, what if you met a tortoise that you loved very much and took things to the next level?
Are we really?
Wait,
they're not done yet.
Is that, can I just hear in the background, is that a slapping noise?
I don't know.
Is that Shell being given a bit of... is highly inappropriate.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Nicely done, Boakey. A beautiful goal.
With Beck and Soda, we'd like to welcome Travis Boak, 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 Boak.
Oh, here he is, Travis Boak, 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 Boak. Good morning, superstar Port Adelaide legend.
Good morning, guys. I love my intro. It is good.
You're welcome. Boakie, the lid is off. We're premiership favourites after last week. Taking the lid off, round one.
I'll let you carry on, Beck. That's totally fine.
Now, Boakie, you missed last week with that rib injury that you heard a few weeks back while you were over in WA. I've got to say, watching that match on the weekend, particularly that third quarter, God, that would have made you guys feel very excited.
Yeah, we did. So we sat up, I think it's in the media room up in level one, I think it is. And I'm a bad watcher. Like, I cannot watch games of footy. I was so anxious. I've never been so anxious before a game of footy, but I had a good feeling about it. It'd been a great couple of weeks since the Freo game. And that third quarter, the boys just turned it on and it kind of went from, I think we're down by a couple of goals to four or five in front in the space of what felt like about 5 minutes. So, the footy that we played in that third quarter was the footy we know we can play and what we've been practicing all pre-season. So it was good to come out.
Yeah, you don't miss many games. You wouldn't be used to it being on the sidelines.
No, I'm not. And that's the first time I've ever watched, other than in the coach's box at Adelaide Oval. That was the first time in, how long have we been playing there? 11 years at Adelaide Oval. 10 years at Adelaide Oval.
2014,
like
yeah.
It was hard to do, but it was still it was great to watch and now hopefully be a part of that side going forward, playing that footy for the rest of the year.
Boakie, it was a fractured rib. Tell us, how does it feel right now?
Yeah, it's a lot better. So much better than last week. Last week I was struggling to run still. Had a fair bit of pain running, and that's gone. This week, obviously, there's some contact in footy, so that's still a bit of a risk, but I feel so much better, and the pain has definitely gone down a fair bit. So I'm ready to go, emergency at the moment, so hopefully I'll get on, and we'll wait and see.
Are you a bit stiff to be emergency? Should you have been picked?
Nah, not stiff at all. Lucky to even get in the squad the way the boys are playing at the moment. So, I'm happy. I haven't played any footy at all, really, so still got to continue to build up, and if that means emergency this week, and if I get to the sub and play, you know, a little bit of footy, I'll be happy to do that and hopefully be a part of just playing my role inside.
Now, I must apologise on behalf of my co-host. Last time you were in last week, we had a little photo taken, and then I looked down and saw that he had about 3 buttons on his fly undone. And, you know, you carrying a fractured rib, anything could have happened if you'd seen what was below the surface.
I did notice that. And Soder, I thought, you know, after being on radio, morning radio for so long, you'd think you'd be a morning person, but you're obviously still struggling with the AM sessions, mate.
Well, I am, because I fell asleep, obviously, yesterday. But I've got to say, Boakie, it was obviously your first time in the studio. I just wanted to give you a really warm welcome.
That's why I'm not coming back.
Hey, Trav, so you definitely, we can confirm you're going on the kite today. You will be over there, so you are in line to be the sub, perhaps.
I am travelling, so we're flying over, I think, 1 o'clock today. So we'll be on the flight, and hopefully I'll get a jumper and I can run out there on the G, mate. It's always nice to play on the MCG, especially against Collingwood. So fingers crossed.
The other thing is, it could work your favour. Someone might roll their ankle getting on or off the plane too, so you'd be able to come straight into the side.
Do not jinx my boys, mate.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, mate.
I want Boakie to play.
Yeah, but I don't want anyone else coming out with an injury.
Boakie's my favourite footballer. Boakie, I want you to play no matter what it takes. I'll be at the airport, kneecap and blokes on the way in.
All right, Boakie, good luck. Have a good show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. We'll put on a show.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, hey, Boakie, have a great show over there.
It's a show.
There you go.
There he is, Travis Boak, the Port Adelaide superstar. Thanks to our friends at Waverill Mitsubishi, driven by Australian Motors. You're going to have a great show against Port Adelaide.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Hey, Beck, you know what? The last couple of days I've realised I've been very, very frustrated at home because I've been watching a little Netflix series called Full Swing. I'm not a golf fan, I'll tell you right now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of golf, but this is a behind-the-scenes doco type style thing that shows you what it's like in the world of golf.
Oh,
fascinating.
Like the one they did about the motor car racing.
Yeah, like Drive to Survive. Yep. Fascinating, because there's all this money involved and, you know, with their families and everything. Anyway, I'm watching it the last couple of nights, and I'm realizing I'm watching it with the subtitles on.
Mm.
And I can't get them off. I do not know. And then I've started to Google, how do I remove subtitles from a Hisense TV? And then I've realized my kids watch TV, right? 10, 7, and 6. They watch TV with subtitles.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
Is this a new phenomenon?
I don't know.
Do yours do it as well?
Absolutely. It obviously comes from them getting used to watching clips on TikTok.
Right.
On with subtitles. They're just, it's ingrained in them now.
I find it unbelievably distracting. Because I'm sitting there sort of reading it, and I'm going, I'm trying to watch the show, and then I'm looking down. I don't know whether my brain can't multitask and read and watch at the same time. Then it goes, sound effect, man walking down the road.
Yeah, I don't need to know that.
I can hear that. But I understand, obviously, the importance of subtitles for hearing impaired people.
It's funny, though, back in the day, you used to go, oh, I don't want to watch a foreign film tonight. Like, I'm too tired to read the subtitles.
Yep.
And now all films have subtitles in English.
Well, just doing a little bit of research this morning. What about this? A recent YouGov study showed that 61% of viewers aged 18 to 25 watch TV with subtitles.
61%?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Does that blow your
mind?
Old.
See, I would have thought that it decreases their comprehension of what's going on the screen, because you're not getting like the nuances of like the facial expressions and the...
Yep.
I don't know, but this study says that it actually increases comprehension because it forces kids to read. It's the only reading they're doing now is subtitles in movies.
Actually, that's a really good point. It's probably a good chance for them to see English written in the proper way rather than doing this little shorthand English all the time.
BRB.
It's just saying here, the human brain is more maneuverable in our 20s. So watching TV while following subtitles or texting or browsing the internet is possible for many young people. They have the ability to be able to multitask.
Yeah, but then their attention span is so short because they're so used to little clips and I've got my phone and I'm texting my friends and I'm watching that, and then you can't actually get them to focus on you when you're speaking to them.
Well, it's funny now because kids be running around saying, I cannot hear the TV without the subtitles on. I can't hear it. I need the subtitles on. I can't work it out. But I didn't realise that this has just all evolved. But you're right, it must all be because of social media and these different platforms. But if anyone has a Hisense TV and they know how to remove the subtitles, can you give us a call, 131060? Because I'm saying, is this happening for everyone? All people now, all parents and adults sitting there going, what is going on
poor
with my TV?
Man.
I don't even know how the kids were able to enact the subtitle option on the phone. But if
smart.
Anyone knows, if you've got anyone from Harvey Norman or one of those places, please feel free to give us a call. 131060, have
Harvey?
A chat to the producers off air, because it is driving me insane.
Poor old man Soda, you're having issues. You can't get your subtitles off your television.
No, well, it's quite remarkable. I was just saying, because we just found out that 61% of 18 to 25-year-olds watch TV with subtitles on, because it's a real spillover from the social media idea of, you know, kids on TikTok and that all the time. I could not work it out. My kids watch YouTube and so forth with the subtitles on. They're stuck on the TV. I've been watching TV for 3 days with subtitles on. It's driving me insane. I cannot multitask.
All right. Well, someone has called in to help. Sarah from Walkerville. Can you help the old man and his Hisense telly?
I think I can, and I think old man is right. You're showing your age a bit here, Soda. I think the subtitles are on Netflix, not on the TV.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, I think you're right.
What do you mean? So,
so if you go to pause your show that you're watching and then go down a little bit, you'll see a little speech bubble. And if you click on that, you can turn the subtitles on and off from Netflix.
Oh, okay, because I've only been watching Netflix at night, you know, watching a series. Oh, so it's not actually the TV itself. They've done it on Netflix.
No, it would be your Netflix.
Oh. It's a Netflix option.
On your streaming provider, darling.
Beautiful. See, that's what the kids have set up.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you. I will make sure I do that this evening.
Mm.
No wonder I'm sitting trying to find this subtitles thing on the remote control and I can't find it.
Mm.
I'm going through all the options.
Oh, sweetheart.
Sarah, you're a star.
Yeah.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Oh my gosh! Look at these trending topics.
I think celebrities in Hollywood and rock stars have always been focused on looking hot and skinny. I don't think it's a new phenomenon.
Well, no, it's not a new phenomenon, but it's not just rock stars and celebrities. It is all through our society because of people getting stuck on their social media and obsessed with Instagram. It's become a mindset for everyone.
But I think some of it filters down from those Hollywood stars. And I feel like it's back in the spotlight more than I remember in recent years. And I think also because of that diet drug or the diabetes drug, Ozempic, which is supposed to, it's an appetite suppressant. It's called Ozempic.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, all the celebrities apparently started taking it in the lead up to Oscars. And then genuine diabetes sufferers were unable to get a hold of their drugs.
What? So they would do it to stop themselves being hungry so they could just get skinny?
Oh, and then we heard Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, Goop founder, the one with the vagina candle, share this bizarre diet.
I eat dinner early in the evening. I do a nice intermittent fast. I usually eat something about 12. I have coffee, but I really like soup for lunch. I have bone broth for lunch a lot of the days. And then for dinner, I try to eat, according to paleo. So lots of vegetables. It's really important for me to support my detox.
Stop talking. Just stop talking.
Gwyneth, as a side note, currently on trial for injuring a skier in a skiing accident.
I really like soup for lunch. Good on you. Eat it or drink it or whatever you do with soup and then shush.
Well, in her defense, she was asked about what she ate. I mean, could say nobody cares. Okay, but this is why I'm fascinated that her ex, who she consciously uncoupled with, Coldplay frontman, Chris Martin.
Yep.
Love Chris. I feel like Coldplay got a bit daggy recently, but I love Coldplay.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
I feel like Coldplay's the new Nickelback, but I quite like them.
No, they're good. Anyway, so they were together and now her stuff's rubbing off on him.
Now Chris Martin has dropped this zinger in a podcast.
I don't actually have dinner anymore. I stop eating at 4 and I learned that from having lunch with Bruce Springsteen. I was lucky enough to go over there for lunch the day after we played Philadelphia last year. I was on a really strict diet anyway. But I was like, Bruce looks even more in shape than me.
Yeah.
And Patty said, he's only eating one meal a day. So I was like, well, there we go.
But maybe that's a thing as you get a bit older. You know, like Bruce would be, Bruce has got to be in his late 60s now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He'd be near 70.
God, they'd be hangry, wouldn't they, the two of them?
It would be hangry when you're not eating that often. But I understand also too, because I've got to the point now where I don't eat breakfast. I stopped eating breakfast about 4 years ago.
Is it an intermittent fasting, like a deliberate?
I don't know. I just started to think that I wasn't as hungry as I used to be because you're not doing as much exercise as when you're younger. And so now I've got to the point where I'm just eating when I'm hungry, which is, I don't know, it's not breakfast, lunch and dinner.
You are looking lean at the moment.
Well, I've lost about 12 kilos.
What?
Yeah, I know. Not deliberately, but I've just started to eat more and I think, well, when I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. If I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat. So if it's lunchtime and I'm not hungry, I won't eat.
I feel like I'm listening to the Gwyneth podcast.
Exactly.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Beck, I was just listening to news before and you were talking about, obviously, that tragic accident that took place on Kensington Road in front of Marriottville High School a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that the trees have been pruned.
Yeah, they have. So the 16-year-old girl who was hit, her dad sort of went and had a bit of a look and he was the one to point out the tree, which I'm not sure is the process that should happen in these circumstances. But.
Well, interestingly enough, at about 7:30 last night, I was driving along Kensington Road right there in front of Marriottville High, and I slowed down, not many cars at that point, but I slowed down to have a look because I'd obviously heard about everything the last couple of days, and I was fascinated and saw it on the news last night, and I was sort of having a look around. And then I realised there was a massive truck there, and they were pruning the trees at 7:30 last night.
You witnessed the moment.
Yeah. As I've gone past, I've gone, what are they doing? Oh, my God,
they're
this is it. I've just looked at a picture online on the advertiser website, and it was showing before the pruning was done yesterday, because obviously the sun rises in the east. So when you're driving up Kensington Road, that sun is coming in your eyes at that time. Now, this by no means, I'd think,
prejudges the situation,
absolutely, because the light was red and it was red for 4 seconds or so. But looking at this picture here on the advertiser website, the tree is right in front of the traffic light. Also, too, the sun is there in the eyes, but there is a clearway sign that is sort of on an angle. And at a certain height when you're driving through there, the clearway sign would block the traffic light. Then you add the tree, then you add the sun.
And the fact you're in front of a school zone.
Absolutely. Understand why something may potentially happen as it did. Like I said, it doesn't forgive the horrific mistake that was taken by the driver. And obviously, he'll be dealt with in due course. But I reckon now what we're going to see is just about every school crossing in South Australia is going to be audited, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you think it's actually unforgivable that those trees are across there. Mm. And the fact that Peter Malinowskis gave the all clear to cut that last night. And the fact that I just saw it at 7:30, it gave me a bit of a shock. And I was thinking right now, what are we, 7:45?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are driving to schools or you're around schools. If you're out on the road at the moment, please, please be extra careful.
Absolutely. And perhaps if the kids just take one more beat before they put their foot on the road, because two students injured, but it could have been so much worse than that. So we are thinking of those families as well.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Just promised you a wonderful, lucrative investment opportunity, Beck Morse. Are you ready to hand over your money to me?
Yeah, I trust you entirely.
This is quite remarkable. I'm talking about number plates.
Oh.
Right, so there's an auction starting tomorrow here in South Australia, and it's for historic number plates. It starts at noon, so it's actually historicplates.com.au. These number plates are pretty rare, obviously, and they are fetching ridiculous amounts. Just recently in New South Wales, get this, the number 28 number plate, which is very old, obviously, $2 million recently.
For a number plate?
Yep. In New South Wales. So we've got plenty for auction right here now. You know Bruce Abernathy? Channel 7 sportsman, seven-time Port Adelaide Premiership superstar. He has been buying and selling number plates, like vanity plates or the actual number plates for a long time. I wanted to get him on because we need to know about this. If you've got some money available, you might want to get involved. Good morning, Abba.
Good morning, Sodas. How are you?
We are terrific. Now, Beck, this man, Bruce Abernathy, the Port superstar, he knows all about these number plates. Abba, you have bought and sold and owned a whole ton of these personal vanity plates.
Well, vanity, you use that word coming out of your mouth. That's a strange concept. Good morning to you too, Beck, anyway. Yes, I have been lucky enough to buy and sell a couple of number plates and make some money out of them, but unfortunately, I've never actually got the real valuable ones, which are the original black and white low-digit ones here in South Australia and Victoria and New South Wales, pretty much everywhere.
So what's in your collection, Bruce?
When the vanity plates came out, the single letters, I went down, I went along and picked up a single letter, and they're probably, you know, worth $35,000,
$40,000
now. Wow. And, of course, if you really want to talk vanity, I did get my own initials. And the good news is that one of my daughters, her name starts with a B as well, Bree. So she'll get to inherit it. So BA gets to go on in my family. So it's just one of those nice little things that you have in your family. But the value is certainly there. And I also managed to pick up, I saw a guy with 05 and I played footy 5. And I thought, how did he get that number? And I realised it's the letter. So I went and got 01 and I had it for about 10 years. And I sold it for about $30,000 or $40,000 about 10 years ago. So I wish I still had it. I think the last time it changed hands, so as we saw it on a car, the bloke had paid $80,000 for it, so there's money to be made.
Abba, what are some of these plates going for?
Oh, in South Australia, single digits, probably, you know, nearly $1 million.
Jeez.
But you go to the bigger population centres like Sydney and Melbourne, a mate of mine's got a number plate, a double digit low number, a teens number plate in Melbourne for $2.5 million, and he'll get $2.5 million for it.
What?
Quite easily. I sort of put them in the same category as beachfront land. They're not making any more of it. As people get wealthier and want to spend their money on things that appreciate in value, and there's a finite quantity of them, that's what they buy.
Hey, I had a personalised number plate on my little Nissan Pulsar back in the day. It was one of those terrible, remember the green and gold ones?
I put my hand up. I've never had one of them.
Because you've got taste.
Maybe it was the colour combination.
And it said Beck with a K, because that's how I spelled it back then, triple O. Do you think it would be worth anything now?
Yeah, you'd probably give me $1.75 for that. And that'd be for the metal value. That'd be all. Surely you kept it. It's on the wall of the shed or something.
Yeah, my dad's got it on the wall in his garage.
So as I will tell you the story, and this is my favourite story in South Australia. Back in 1985, we had the Great Plate Auction that coincided with the Grand Prix, the first Grand Prix.
Yep.
And I met a guy up in Mount Compass, and he had number 3 on a car that was worth about $1,000. So the number plate's probably worth $800,000. The car's worth $1,000. And I stopped behind him. I said, I like your plate. And I had one of mine on my car, and he said, I like yours. I said, I like yours more. And he told me the story. When the Great Plate Auction came out back in 85, he got $30,000 mortgage on his house, and he went and bought number 3 for $11,000, number 5 for $6,000, and number 6 for $5,000. And he had them all. As I said, they're all close to $1 million each now. And I sit there and go, mate, You're a smart man.
Wow. So what he spent around 23 grand and turned into about 3 mil.
Yep, yep. And you get Michael Brock, the real estate guru. I think he bought two plates, 64 and 65 for like, you know, $5,000. And I know he sold them a few years ago for hundreds of thousands of dollars. He did better out of number plates than real estate.
Bruce Abernathy, thank you, mate. That is just a bit of food for thought if you're looking to do some investing.
Why not? Have a crack.
There you go, Beck. So that is noon tomorrow, historicplates.com.au. Mm. You could maybe put Beck 000 up.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I could get some cash with that.
Hey, and Bruce Abernathy too, TV show The Car Club, streaming on Channel 7 at any time. Back on 7, mate, on the 1st of May at 1:30 p.m. And you don't have to love cars. It's a ripping show on Channel 7.
And who's his co-host?
Amelia Mulcahy.
And
shameless plug alert.
Come on.
Oh, Mark Soderstrom.
Shameless plug. SAFM's Beck and Soda. So yesterday in the studio, I was doing something while the songs were on, you know, probably preparing, researching my next break or possibly scrolling Instagram, one of the two.
I dare say that your phone was in your hand if I had to take a random guess.
And I think, oh mate, Soda's been a bit quiet. And then I look over and your head, your forehead is resting on the microphone, which have those nice little windsock fuzzies on them.
Pillow-like.
Your eyes are closed and you are gone.
Yeah. I actually thought at one point it was a micro nap, but I think it was a deep slumber.
I actually fell asleep on the microphone.
You can't admit that.
Hey?
You can't admit that.
No, I just fell asleep.
What does that say about my company?
Well, I don't know. I actually, during that song, I just got the shock of my life. My head was on the microphone and you just both said something. I went, what? And I jumped up and I realised I was actually asleep with my head on the microphone then.
The most fascinating thing about that bit of audio from yesterday, can we just play it again? Just listen for the moment when Rebecca Morse is concerned for my welfare to see whether I'm asleep or not and maybe I'm getting, you know, a little tired. Sure. Am I okay? But have a listen.
I actually fell asleep on the microphone.
You can't admit that.
Hey?
You can't admit that.
I just fell asleep.
What does that say about my company?
There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Exhibit A. What does that say about my company? Not are you okay?
It's insulting to be sitting next to someone and have them nod off on you.
So the first thing out of all of that 360 degrees Rebecca Morse was, where do I fit in that?
True, because I asked you if you were okay this morning because you were asleep in the car when I arrived today. And I went,
24 hours late.
Exactly. You need to get some sleep.
Do you know what, though? Sometimes you need a little kip. And yesterday, it actually gave me a real shock because it was around about, what time was it, about 10 to 8 yesterday. Mm. And while the song was on, I just thought, just a moment. And then it wasn't a micro nap. I actually fell deep asleep. And when I jolted and woke up, I went, what's actually happened?
When you woke up.
I woke up.
Did you used to be an English teacher?
You're so woke.
I've had a bad day today. Seriously, English is my second language today. There is no doubt about that.
We need subtitles on this show.
You know why? Because I'm so tired.
I know. Breakfast radio. I mean, there are a lot of shift workers out there.
Yeah.
We shouldn't really play our tiny violins, but you do get very tired.
No, I know. But you know, sometimes you just need to keep. Remember George Costanza on Seinfeld and he built that little shelf?
Yes.
Just where his footwell goes in his desk and he had a little kit there.
Perfect.
It was beautiful. I've got to tell you, you know, another time when I've fallen asleep was many, many years ago. Go and play. Get the siren ready.
Here we go.
When I was working at the fire brigade.
Don't fireys just sleep half the time anyway?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, we're just actively resting. Passively resting, just getting ready. Just, you know what I'm
like
saying?
Like a coiled spring.
The kinetic energy waiting to go, bang, let's save some lives.
Yeah.
But do you know, I remember once we had a call in the middle of the night and it was to Peary Street and I can remember the exact building. I think it was the Aeon building right in Peary Street there. And we were in the first truck that pulled up. So what happens is, Beck, I was actually driving, right? And so what happens is then everyone runs out and they check. It was an alarm. So nothing really serious had happened, but you've got to go and check the alarm. So the three boys had jumped out, they'd gone up and there were two other trucks behind us because it was a high-rise building. You never know. In case it's a fire, we've got to have three trucks. Might have even been a fourth in line waiting. And then the guys go up and check and they go, look, the detector's gone off for some reason, maybe a cleaner. And then we send a message back to headquarters and everyone goes back.
Yeah.
Right. They were sending, because I was driving the first truck and I was waiting down there, they send the messages back to me. Anyway, I'm just sitting there and then I hear this on the window and I look and it's another fiery from another truck and he goes, oi, They've been trying to talk to you on the radio for the last 5 minutes. I'd fallen asleep.
What if it wasn't just an alarm?
Well, there were a lot of firemen there.
What if the whole building was burning and Captain Soda
napping? Hang on. In my defence, right, I realised that the building wasn't burning. So while we were waiting for them to check the circuit out, I just thought, here's a little chance just to put my head on the wheel for 10 seconds. I'm not saying I was attentive. I'm not saying I was in the right. I was in the wrong. But he scared the crap out of me when he tapped on the window. And I've gone, oh, God. And they had to actually send the messages back through another one, which is probably a good reason why I'm no longer a fireman.
Or a brain surgeon.
Correct.
All right, 131060, where Come did on. You fall asleep? Are you any worse of a narcoleptic human than Soda?
Oh, I actually, I've got to be awake today because I'm cooking the barbecue for the sausage sizzle at the primary school today.
Aw, good on you, Dash.
So I don't want to fall asleep on the hot plate.
Is there going to be a long line of yummy mummies wanting to try your sausage sizzle?
There'll be a long line of sausages all cooked, and I need to make sure I do not burn them, so I need to stay awake.
That's it.
All right, that's an important job. So we're asking, where did you fall asleep after Soda had a snooze in the studio yesterday? Leanne in Gawler, what happened?
We were out for a lovely night with the family at the Speedway, and I woke up in amongst the dirt, dust, and covered in grot after I'd fallen asleep while the Speedway was on full speed.
Oh, Leanne. At the time, did you have young kids?
No, kids.
I was trying to find an out for you, an excuse that you might have been absolutely buggered. You needed a kip.
I had no excuse, and the other silly place that I fell asleep was in the old days when the steam ranger used to go from Adelaide down to Victor Harbour.
Yeah.
I woke up choking because my darling husband had been throwing raspberries in my open sleeping mouth.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. Anna in Blakeview, where did your hubby fall asleep?
So I was giving birth to our first child I'm in labour. I'm pushing, I'm screaming, got the hormones going through me. I look over because I just want to grab his hand because I'm in that much pain.
Yes.
And as I turn over, he's there with his eyes shut, legs up, having a nice old snooze while I'm here trying to give birth.
Anna.
So we've got two kids now, but never have I let him live this down.
Oh, that is bad.
Anna, what's his name?
Joseph.
Well, look,
so I turn over and I'm like, Joseph. Are you serious right now?
I'm glad you're having a nap, mate, while I go through this excruciating pain.
In Joseph's defence, it can be very, very tiring as a father sitting there in the anticipation and watching because you're not feeling the physical pain. Sometimes it's very, very tough, Anna. Was it a long labour?
I mean, it was only 12 hours.
Yeah.
It ended up with an emergency caesarean. Aww. But to top it off, when I started to be in labour at home, he had said to me, oh, just hang on a second, I need to finish paving.
Right, so I can understand, 12 hours, a poor bugger.
Shout out to all the men in the birthing suites. Mm. They're the unsung heroes.
Absolutely.
The unsung heroes of childbirth, the men.
Wonderful support from Joseph. We got a prize for Joseph?
Yeah, we can find
George. Yeah,
something
definitely.
For Joseph?
Yeah,
okay, Dozza in Woodville Gardens, where did you fall asleep?
Hi, guys, I'm known amongst my friends, so falling asleep in quite a few different places, and it became the theme of my best man's speech at my wedding. But probably the best one that I did was I went on a trip with him and a group, and flying over the Grand Canyon in a helicopter.
One of the great wonders of the world.
So on the way back, it was. Like, I saw, I was tired. It looked all the same, so I just have a sleep on the way back.
Dozer, we're going to change your name to Dozer.
Yeah.
SAFM's Beck and Soda, a new way to wake up. Get SAFM's Beck and Soda anywhere, anytime on the free listener app, SAFM.